Are you still mixing station gas and oil for your string trimmer, leaf blower, or chainsaw? Eliminate the mess and the guesswork with TruFuel, the original pre-mixed two-cycle fuel. TruFuel is ethanol-free and precision-engineered for small engines, improving performance and extending the life of your outdoor power equipment. And TruFuel is available for both two- and four-cycle engines. Empower your equipment with TruFuel. Available at your local Home and Garden Center today.
Weissman, Oz, on a Friday, 2 o'clock. Weissman, how you doing? It's a Turk here. What's up? Steven Weissman, hey, how's that for Candace? What's going on, man? Happy Friday. A little muggy, but now I think the sun came out. Weissman and Oz, I-95 Sports Network. So the number to call is
1-605-562-8001. Press 5 to join the conversation. You can also tune in on the new and revamped I-95SportsNetwork.com. Where you can find the Weissman and Oz show and plenty of other shows ran by our guy, Bobby and Joey. How you doing, Errol?
I'm all right. It's been a weird 12 hours. So, Steven, last time we were on, Phil Jackson had gotten dismissed as the next president of basketball operations, and everyone celebrated probably just a little bit too emphatically. I swear it was like a war. It was like a warlord was killed or something. Like everyone was like, I saw the back pages. Spike Lee is like praying to God, thank you God. Like it got a little too overblown. But Steven Weissman, nothing has changed. I'm coming home. Tim Hardaway Jr. is coming back, but Steven, he is not just coming back. He is coming back on what is the second biggest contract offer in free agency from a non-superstar so far. Biggest long-term contract, because I know Chris Paul went and got signed and traded and Gordon Hayward, but straight up offer Steven Weissman, the second biggest contract to the Nets, Otto Porter. Steven, what? When I saw this last night, I swear. You know how you get the Twitter notifications, you turn them on, right?
Yeah.
You do it on Adrian Wojnarowski. Every offseason, like it has to happen. He always has the breaking news, right? All I see is Tim Hardaway Jr. gets a 4-for-71 offer sheet because he's a restricted free agent. It's the same thing in hockey. You know, you place an offer sheet, the team has 48 hours to match it if they'd like to. I didn't see it was the Knicks. Next thing I know, my phone starts blowing up. They gave this man $18 million per year, like real money. Like actual, like American money. This ain't yen or nothing. They're giving him actual money, Steven. You know what the salary cap was in 1995?
What?
$23 million. Now it's 99. And now Tim Hardaway Jr. Listen, this may be the landscape of the NBA. You know, being mainly a hockey fan as you are as yourself, big contracts don't get handed out like that. I mean, we saw the biggest contract ever in McDavid, which you're going to get into. Got a lot to get into, man. Week by week, you know, this is what happens. We saw a backup center who I consider a dirty player in Kelly Olynyk, you know, the guy with long hair on the Celtics, get $50 million to be a backup center. They got a center to be a backup center. The landscape of the NBA salary-wise, financially-wise, is disgusting now. I mean, Steph Curry was fantastic at $40 million. Roger Goodell gets paid $40 million to be a commissioner of the best league in the world. I'm done. What else can I? It's just you can't hurt me anymore.
Why did the Knicks get rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. in the first place?
Because they traded for a first round pick, which I agreed with what they did. Now, listen, it's not like this guy's 33, right? This guy's 24, 25 years old. So I guess you're signing a guy in his mid 20s, give him a chance to develop. But 71, what reason was there reason to dole out that much money to a guy who averaged 14.5 points a game last year?
I feel like
year.
This team is always going backwards.
It's like backwards is, you can't go, your back's against the wall. How much further back can you go? Seriously, you got real Phil Jackson, everything you thought was going to be nice and dandy, but you're just doling out stupid money. Why? Steven, this is like, let me think about it for a second. This is like, say if Ryan Strome was a free agent and the Rangers offered him 4 years and $20 million, $25 million. They gave him $5 million a year, which I really hope no one would do that. They gave him $5 million. It's like that. Because it seems like five equates to like 18 from national NHL to the NBA. But dude, this team's just always going backwards. I've almost lost all hope.
Is it true that the Knicks are rumored to be maybe trading Carmelo to Houston?
Yeah. So Incarcerated Bob, who people don't like to use as a source, but the guy's always right. It's right before everyone else. I don't know how he does it. No one knows he does it, but we just enjoy. We just indulge the information that he gives us, especially hockey. Guy's on top of everything when it comes to the NHL all season. They were in talks. Ian Begley put out his trade scenarios, which it would include the Knicks getting a couple good pieces back for the short term, though, and then just guys just to fill out the bench. I'm not buying him out. You're not going to buy a guy out for $54 million just to go away. I mean, it just makes no sense. If you want to trade him, fine. I saw one trade scenario that would include a lot of your protected first-round pick and an expiring contract to the Knicks. That would be fine, too. I'd be okay with it.
Would you be sad as a Knicks fan to see Carmelo go?
Yeah, it's sad, but why would he even want... I get it. He wants to be here for his kids. Lala said that on... What was that? Wendy Williams? Is that her name? Whatever, Channel 9. I get it. You want to be close to your kid? Dude, do you want to win a championship? Because you ain't winning it here. Never.
I don't think he cares much more about the championship as he does, you know, the money, the fame in New York, his family here.
And there's also something to be said about maybe he's just desperately, very desperately wants to win in New York. I mean, he said it since
he was
like,
"It's not going to happen."
I know, but maybe just holding out hope. I doubt it. I doubt if this goes down and deep that emotional for him.
If this is the team he thinks is going to win a championship, he's got another thing coming to him.
No, and he knows. I mean, he's not that dumb. So, but...
Well, does he think the Knicks are going to offer him another contract?
No,
after his...
no. This is like, this matters. Sometimes, Steven, sometimes... And we've been... Most guys have been there. We're in a relationship or a marriage. You know,
so
it doesn't work.
So, basically waiting for his, you know, death to arrive.
Yes, basically. I wasn't going that far, Weiss.
But it's... No, but I'm trying to put it in a way... That, you know, what's the point?
When it doesn't work, you guys just break it off. It's not working. The Knicks don't want
that.
You here anymore. The guy doesn't want to be with the girl anymore. The girl doesn't want to be with the guy anymore, however you want to put it. But it's got to be done with. And it's just a matter of when they trade him, not if. Because they're going to trade him. Whether it's going to be to Cleveland or it's going to be to... Houston, it looks like it's going to be one of those two destinations. It's happening, man. It's get ready for those Carmelo jerseys to be put in the closet or do whatever you do with your old jerseys with old players. I what do you do? I was cleaning out my closet today.
Well, my rule is if you're attending a game and you have a jersey of a player that's not on your team anymore and your team is versing his new team, say for Ryan Strome. Say Edmonton Oilers come in.
And you're wearing your Ryan Strome jersey.
I would wear my Ryan Strome jersey. I've worn my Mark Streit New York Islander jersey several times when he was with the Flyers.
That's too much. It's too much.
Who's my favorite player? How can I not wear it?
I hate that team. I wouldn't mind if that team burnt to the ground. That city burnt. I really wouldn't. As terrible as that says. No one getting hurt. Just the city just burning to the ground. But, dude, Callahan, Drury, Shanahan... Gaborik, I didn't know what to do.
Those are all your jerseys?
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. Ever since, they don't fit me anymore. I've been getting them since, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade.
I have a Jason Bay jersey.
Oh, gosh. This is... See, now I've learned that jerseys are like an investment. Like, you're not gonna... Like, I wasn't gonna get a Cespedes jersey or shirt. Like, I get the shirts. I wasn't getting a Cespedes shirt until he signed long term. I just wasn't doing it. I didn't get a St. Louis jersey when he was here for only a couple years. I mean, he's a 37-year-old guy. You know, they're investments. I got a Ryan McDonough jersey after he signed a 6-year contract. Lundqvist, good investment. You're not going to go out and get a Josh Bailey jersey. I don't know.
You know whose jersey I am going to be getting this offseason?
Everly?
Of course.
How long is he left on his contract?
2. This season and next.
I don't know if it's a good investment.
But they re-sign him.
I don't know about that. Islanders seem like they don't want to re-sign the guys that the free agents that they have.
Don't even go there.
I can give you three examples in a matter
of free agent yet.
I can give you three examples in a matter of 2 months. All right, Steven, so now we're going to be having a show every week. What moment, was there a moment you were on Twitter, you were on ESPN.com, I don't know, and you saw breaking news and you're like, wow, if only we had a show the next day.
Connor McDavid's deal.
Yeah, it was big. As lucrative as people, some people think it is. We had a lot of hockey deals. I mean, listen, July 1st, not even just the July 1st free agency. A lot of people getting extensions. McDavid, Carey Price, huge. Highest paid goalie in the league now. Joe Thornton, technically. Now, how much did he go? $8 million,
2 years.
Yes, it's 2 years.
Yes, Vlasic.
Vlasic, Martin Jones. Yeah, everyone wants to talk about the Shattenkirk deal, and I know it's kind of stale now because we haven't had a show in a week, and I believe we did our show, was it the Friday? The day before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we made it, I said either Williams, who's in Carolina, Thornton, who's back in San Jose, or Shattenkirk will be a Ranger. It happened. You predicted, wrongly now, that Matthew Shane would be in an Islanders jersey. Which did not happen, and I don't think it has to do with Garth Snow. I think people got to give him a break with that.
I think people just want to burn Joe Sakic to the ground.
They just don't, the Avalanche GM, right?
Joe Sakic.
Won't budge. He won't, like, and I was hearing, like, rumors, I don't know how true they were, that the Rangers were offering the pick that they got from Arizona, their first-round pick, and another couple prospects. Wouldn't budge. I get it that you want to be overpaid for something, but at what line do you draw from that?
Well, I know Colorado wants that, you know, top four defenseman. I just don't have that to offer anymore. If they're looking for a Nicoletti type of player, go somewhere else. Because not going to get that.
Well, it should have been Hamonic. But it shouldn't have been Hamonic last year or at the trade deadline. Because now Hamonic had a subpar
season.
Didn't
have much value.
Now,
even though the Islanders did get a lot of value for what they got for Travis Hammond.
Now you got two first-round picks, right?
They got a first, a second, first and 2 seconds.
All right. I mean, you got three draft picks. See, this is why I'm kind of like, I feel like the Islanders are half pregnant. Like, are you trying to contend? Are you trying to make the playoffs? Or are you trying to rebuild? Like, why are you trying to get I guess they have an abundance of
defense. Well, you aren't going to get what you really wanted for Travis Hammond, of course, was Matt Duchene.
I mean, how does the defense shape up now?
Chuck Letty. You're going to have Ryan Pulock.
Was he
Calvin DeHaan.
Was he hurt last year?
No, they just never seemed to make that next step come to the NHL.
He was doing well. I feel like he was doing well
in the beginning.
I mean, people were retweeting the Sound Tigers, was it? Every time he scored a goal.
Well, he was up originally in the beginning of the season, and he got hurt out of nowhere, a mystery injury, and then he was down the rest of the season. Hey, I think it just takes time for most defensemen to develop into NHL-ready players, and I think this is where it comes in. You know, Art Staple had writing his articles, and he does this thing called Stape Chat, where fans on Twitter hashtag Stape Chat, and they write in questions or whatever. And some of the questions were asked, you know, what does the defensive pairing look like now that Hamonic's gone? Okay, so you have Wojciech Letty.
Well, who is this guy that they kept? Everyone was delirious about instead of keeping DeHaan. Pellet?
Adam Pellet.
So
he's a healthy scratch right now.
And why would... It still doesn't make
he's
sense.
Still, he's a good defenseman, but right now it's going to be Wojciech Letty, DeHaan, once he resigns, DeHaan, Pulock, Hickey, Mayfield. Now, Mayfield and Pellick are on the same level right now. You could flip-flop either one. They were both healthy scratches, but you also have a guy in Dennis Sonnenberg that you resigned as a veteran defenseman that can be very valuable.
Now, I continue to ask this question. I just don't know if anyone can answer it. Why would you keep a guy that borderline be scratched every night over a guy who...
I think they had a deal in place with Vegas to take him.
So they knew, okay. I would assume...
No, that has to be it, no.
I mean, that's...
I mean, they took Jeff Berube.
Oh, yeah. Your boy! I forgot about that. Oh, God.
You know what we never brought up ever since the Islanders season ended? And We got to have Joe back on really soon. The trip.
Oh, so what did happen?
That's not a story for me to tell.
I mean, you knew it. Everyone knew it.
I know it.
They didn't make the postseason, so.
So, Joe, if you're listening, probably not.
Joe loves us. Come on.
I'll let him give
us a story. I think you undersell us.
Maybe
forever.
Before football season comes on.
Oh, I can't wait.
He'll give us the story from Boston.
Thank God I like watching baseball. Because if I didn't enjoy, like, I can't, I don't want to insult you. If I liked the team like the Islanders that every year you just didn't know, like, you know the Rangers are making the playoffs. It's just a matter of how far they're going to go and if they can go all the way. Why are you looking at me like that? They've made the playoffs in the last 10 out of 11 years. Since 2006, they made the playoffs every year except for one when they were eliminated on the last day in a shootout against the Flyers of all teams. Makes
I remember that. Very, very clearly.
Olli Jokinen. The season was on the line. Olli Jokinen was up. But why are you looking at me like that? I'm trying not to insult you. I'm trying
nothing
to be nice.
Nothing's a short thing.
Nothing's a short thing? Death, taxes, Rangers making the postseason when Lundqvist is in the match.
Yeah.
Because I can't watch.
It's just too bad that this coming year is probably going to be his falling out year.
Who says who?
Age.
Age? I mean, Tom Brady has been supposed to have a fallout year for three different. Yeah, one of them's more physical. Listen, he's.
You could say hockey is just as physical.
For the goalie though, yeah, for the skaters, but for the goalie, he's not getting hit. He's not getting his ear cut off like I've seen some people do.
Whatever.
I'm in all seriousness. If I like this hockey team, if the Rangers were subpar, I would not watch other hockey games throughout the year because I don't love the sport as much as I love specifically that team. That's my favorite team. I can watch football all day. I can watch baseball all day. I can even watch basketball half the day if it's competitive enough. I don't know how I got so off track. Speaking of defensive pairings, though, Steven. I was very happy to see that Kevin Shattenkirk was signed as a New York Ranger. That's one jersey on the 4 years. I was more excited to see the fact that he put his money, or lack thereof, where his mouth was. Because he said he wanted to be here. He wanted to play here since he was a little kid, since he was in youth hockey. He left. Now, there were reports coming out he left a $30 million table, a $30 million deal on the table from one team, and another team offered him 7 years. Everyone's ridiculing this move. Didn't you tweet out anything? You signed him for less money than you thought you were going to. You signed him for less years than you thought you were going to. It's a short deal for what defensemen are getting. Vlasic, right? Got 8 years. What did Cam Seiler, I believe, what are you giving me?
No, I'm just looking at a notification.
I believe ended up getting a similar deal, right? 8 years, Cam Fowler. So the fact that people are up in arms about the Rangers giving $6.5 million a year for a defenseman where he's kind of the same. I mean, we were talking about this before the show. He's very similar to Keith Yandel, who got 7 years for $42 million. Are you kidding? And people want to be up in arms about 4 and 26.6 or 4 and 27. I'll round it up. What did you think? I didn't see your opinion on social media.
I thought it was, you know, a deal the Rangers had to offer. I mean, I think he took a hometown discount.
It's a big time.
Took less money. We knew it all along. I got some New Rochelle or something, right? New Rochelle?
I think so, yeah. Or Westchester.
Westchester, right around that area.
Or I think his parents lived in one section and he was from the other, or whatever it is.
But anyway, I know the Devils had a big offer on the table for him. I don't know if it was a 7 year or the.
Or the 30 mil. I think the Devils had one, Buffalo had the other.
I could see him going to Buffalo too because New York, but. I think
come on. It's not MSG, though.
Realistically, I think New York is where he's wanted to be. I think he's always wanted to be on the Rangers. He basically made that clear last year. Same thing with my Mighty Sand away a couple of years ago. He was either, you know what, trade me to the Rangers, or, you know what, I'm done.
Isn't it amazing that two teams owned by the same man in one sport in basketball, James Dolan, people really don't want to play for him. But in hockey, it's totally different.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's not really associated with the Rangers.
Good, that's great. Look how it's working out in hockey.
You're comparing apples and oranges.
I guess, but I mean, the guy owns the same team. It's owned by the same guy.
But he's more involved in basketball.
I mean, he shouldn't be involved in anything. That's just fine. He shouldn't be involved in his own home. I hope his wife just takes care of everything. If he's married, I actually have no clue who she is. But Steven, then you look at the defensive pairings. Now, good for Girard. I can't believe Girard's going to... I swear I thought he was going to retire.
Tampa Bay, right?
2 years, $4 million a year, or $3 million a year. Steven, who was paying him $3 million per year? You couldn't be desperate, and I wouldn't have given him $3 million a year. Three? Did you believe that? Did you think he was getting that much?
No, I didn't. I honestly thought he was going to retire.
I thought maybe, you know what, 11 years is enough, playing the way I do, playing the style that I play, the physical, blocking shots, get in front of the puck type of style. Now, we got Shattenkirk and McDonough on the first line. Very formidable. Now, I know there's some worries about Shattenkirk defensively. It's like an oxymoron. You're worried about the defenseman defensively. But I think McDonough being, you know, there's something to be said about a player playing for the team that he's always wanted to play for, the team that he grew up loving. You brought up, it's a different sport, but TJ Rivera. I don't know who else, but I just figured it would be the same, a different mindset, you know? And then the second pairing, Brady Shea. Played well. You can make a case. Him and Smith were the best pairing overall for the Rangers.
And I think they'll be paired up again this season.
I would hope so. Brendan Smith, I mean, that's a great deal. The Rangers made very good moves this offseason. And then...
Do you think they're done?
I saw reports. Not reports. I saw Rob tweeting out, you know, trade, try to find a defensive for Stahl. Who's trading for Stahl?
Would you trade Chris Kreider?
I mean, anyone's tradable in the right deal. I mean, what am I getting for Chris Kreider?
I mean, Chris Kreider hasn't really turned out to be...
If I'm getting Matthew Shane for Chris Kreider, I would really have to stop and think about that and probably pull the trigger on that. Something like that.
Well, the Rangers need a center. The Rangers need a second-line center. And
right now, it looks like it's going to be Kevin Hayes.
Are you happy with that?
No, it makes me very worried. I was really hoping... once I saw Larry Brooks was reporting... Once that Shattenkirk deal went through, that it would, they were out on Marlowe and out, actually went to the Maple Leafs, surprising, out on Thornton.
I could see the Rangers pulling a deal for someone. You know what? I could have even seen, he's off the table now, but a guy like Nick Bonino.
He got a lot of money. Four for 4 years, $5 million, $5 million
for an older guy.
And he's 30, isn't he? He's mid-30s, isn't he?
Yeah.
I like what you tweeted out. If you can't beat him, sign him. Basically. But, I mean, the defensive pairings was the one that, like, that was really worrying me. They signed David Desharnais to a one-year kind of prove-it deal. I mean, I'm okay with that for a fourth, third-line center. They have some guys in the minors like Boone Aves. Maybe he'll be able to come up and make an impact. I mean, he lost two. Now, I didn't get your opinion on the stuff. We've missed a lot. The Stefan deal. Were you here for that?
Yeah.
Were we? What did you think of that one? I don't even remember.
I thought it was... This was 2 weeks ago. We talked about that.
I'm losing... No, we didn't because we... Oh, maybe we did.
We were on our
little vacation that we took while this was going on, though.
Yeah. No, but we talked about this on the show.
We shed $6.5 million. I was mad about losing Ross. I think they signed Andre. What was his name? Pavlik? I can't pronounce his first name, but
Andre Pavlik.
Oh God, help me! I mean, they're taking in a project basically, but no, I don't think they're done. But I don't see a lot. I mean, the third line pairing, you're gonna have D'Angelo and either Holden or Stahl, God knows who, but. I don't know, Steven. I'm going to have a good time, though, when hockey season rolls around. You know why? Because I have a good defense, finally. Or I have a defense that doesn't make me nauseate when I look at it, with Dan Girardi, as good as he was. Kevin Klein made his retirement official, by the way, today. So that was another $3 million that the Rangers shed. So maybe they do go out and get a center. But Steven, a lot has happened in the week, baseball-wise.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is the last time we were on. You know, if the Mets take 2 out of 3 or sweep the Phillies, and then they take 2 out of 3 against the Wild, that part of that didn't happen. So Monday, they swept. We haven't had a Metsy loss, like a Mets loss.
Like
Monday. Before Monday, we haven't had a Mets loss like that in a long time. So the fact that Curtis Granderson, hip and all, or lack of hip and all, because he didn't play the next day, apparently. He wasn't well enough to play the next day. And they just blow it so quick, Steven. I think I'm losing hope, man. I don't know if you lost it already.
Well, I'm not going to say I lost hope completely, because I still see there's a little resilience in this team.
Yeah, and I saw that on Monday, and then it went away very quickly.
But that was a series that the Mets really needed to win to gain ground on the Nationals. And I'm not really looking at the division right now. I mean, it's hard. Is this team going to be – are they going to be sellers or are they going to be buyers at the trade deadline? I was reading up reports, and I was thinking, you know, is it possible to be buyers and sellers at the same time?
In what sense? Like, how would you
– like, not trade off – like, maybe trading a guy like Lucas Duda, but keeping Jay Bruce.
Yeah, I mean,
because we know we have Dom Smith coming up next year.
You could probably get something. I mean, Duda, the Yankees and Mets have really matched for a deal with Duda. It would never happen, but
it wouldn't happen. But I'm saying that, you know, the Mets can turn it around come like trade deadline. You never know what can happen.
I mean, they're only gonna have 2.5 weeks to do that. So if you're going to deal off pieces, you have to do it. Now, can they survive? Now, if they trade it, it's kind of like what happened to the Yankees last year. Would they still be able to be competitive without Miller and Chapman? Well, you saw that they were. Would the Mets be able to be competitive without Duda? Yeah, I think they could, because then you would, you know, throw either T.J. Rivera or Wilmer Flores at first base and still get similar, if not better, offensive production. And Duda, you're not losing anything defensively.
Exactly. He's not that great defensively. And, you know, I don't know if you saw any of my tweets the past couple of days, but I was watching the 5 days in Flushing on SNY, you know.
It's on all the time. Every game delay, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
And, you know what? I'm a big fan of Wilmer Flores. And I think the Mets need to find an everyday position for the guy. We know it's not shortstop, because we have Rosario.
It might be third base.
It could be third base.
Who's playing third
base? It's not second base.
Who's playing third? Can't be.
I think you could put TJ Rivera.
No, have you watched the games? He has no range at that position. I know how many balls I've seen TJ Rivera throw from third base that Duda has either had to catch on the hop or has just gone right past him. He doesn't have the range to play that position. Now, Wilmer Flores isn't exactly, you know, a 2006 version of David Wright either.
Well, Wilmer Flores, I think that if the Mets ever got rid of Wilmer Flores, he'd turn out to be the Justin Turner. I think he's just that good of a hitter.
But Justin Turner could actually play every position well.
I understand that. They're two different players defensively. So maybe Flores at first, TJ Rivera at second. Maybe sign Mike Moustakas in the offseason.
I would love – you don't understand. I'm in my fantasy team right now. It's so much fun. He was 25.
This is his breakout season.
He's in a contract year. You know, coincidence, I think not. But he has 25 home runs in Kauffman Field. It's not exactly a home run part.
He won the All-Star ballot, the final vote.
Oh, did that happen already?
Yeah, so, him and Justin Turner.
Who else was up for it?
It was Didi Gregorius.
All right.
Xavier Bogaerts.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mike Moustakas, obviously.
Yeah.
Logan Morrison.
Yeah, just.
What a story that guy is. And can't think of the other one, but in the NL, it was Justin Turner who won. Chris Bryant.
He hasn't had a good year.
There's no Cubs that won the World Series this year that returned for the All-Star game. The first time since 2008 that the World Series team didn't have any players on
so
the
they don't have any All-Stars.
Wade Davis.
I was figuring the
who they traded for from Kansas City.
They haven't been good. I think Chris Bryant's on pace to have like 90 RBI, like less than 90 RBIs. He's been very disappointing. Rizzo's been around, hovering around 230, 240 for a while now. The team has been, I mean, listen, we're going to do our awards in right after we take a break, but if they don't shape up, your prediction of them missing the postseason might be a reality, Mr. Weissman. And I thought you were crazy for it. You know what else might be a reality? You buy me lunch one day once Aaron Judge hits 50 home runs. We're going to take a quick break here on the I-95 Sports Network. Weissman and Oz, back with you after this.
Introducing the S&D Podcast Channel, your one-stop source for all types of podcasts. We are always on the look for new podcasts to join our channel. If there is any topic you would like to discuss, contact us now. We can be reached on all social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, and or Instagram. You can also contact us by email or leave us a voicemail at 516-570-9248. So make sure to contact us now so you can start your podcast soon.
Weissman and Oz on a Friday. It was Muggy, but now it's sunny. There's a reason why I'm not a singer. Weissman and Oz, everyone. I-95 Sports Network. Number to call is
1-605-562-8001. Push 5 to join the conversation.
All right. Steven, rock, paper, scissors. Who's going first? Rock, paper, scissors?
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's shoot.
Ha!
You go first. I know first.
Steven stupidly used scissors. I use rock, but I think everyone kind of knew that. All right, Steven, NL, I mean, we'll just go by. I'm not going to say the entire list. We'll go by MVPs. This one was kind of tough because there was really no – like in the AL, I don't want to spoil anything. I have a – to me, it was just so clear cut. In the NL, it wasn't. I think
NL is very clear.
No, I don't think so. I was stuck
between two guys.
I was stuck between three or four. I went with Bryce Harper.
He's
having a bounce back year. I had another guy. I do remember I had Daniel Murphy as the midseason MVP last year. I didn't have the stomach to do it 2 years in a row. Zimmerman was a candidate. Goldschmidt was a candidate. But, I mean, Harper's bounced back very nicely, hitting well over 300, around 20 home runs. I mean, the guy is a monster. And you know what? Generally, it's who markets better and who's on the best team, so I'm going to pick Harper.
My NL MVP, you said it, Paul Goldschmidt. This is his best season so far. And this guy's probably the most underrated best player in the MLB. He's hitting over 310, I believe, even probably higher than that. This guy's an average 295, 300 hitter. The guy has 25-plus home runs already. And I think he's on a pace for like 140 RBIs. The guy's insane.
Oh.
I'm going to go Paul Goldschmidt here. This Arizona team's, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah, and they have over 50 wins. There's three teams in the NL that have over 50, or 14, three or
that
four.
That West is a tough division.
Oh, my God.
There's a team there that I really, very surprised by. But where are we going?
Bryce Harper, 323, 20 home runs, 64 RBIs. Where is Goldschmidt, 314, 19 home runs, 66 RBIs.
So he's on a pace for like 130.
Like 120, 130.
120,
130. Insane. Cy Young, I really, really wanted to pick Alex Wood, but he hasn't pitched enough innings. He was hurt for a while, and that's really the only concern with him now. He's an ERA of 1.5, Steve. To me, as I looked at it more and more microscopically, from a micro perspective, Max Scherzer is the clear-cut favorite. I mean, this guy has – and I pitched Kershaw before the year, but Scherzer's just even better. I mean, his record so – how are you with it? Do you look at records? Because I really –
I look at ERA.
I don't like the records, and I look at strikeouts and the whip, obviously.
I look at ERA, strikeouts, innings, whip, you know, and I honestly don't even look at the wins.
No, the wins are they're pointless to me now. Steven, this guy has 163 strikeouts this year. The next most is Clayton Kershaw at 146. ERA under 2. Scherzer's right now the runaway favorite.
I agree with you. Like I said,
I hate agreeing with you.
Scherzer leads the NL in ERA with strikeouts and innings. And this guy, I was going to say, I wish I could pick Alex Wood too, because he's had that great of a season.
It's insane.
But
I don't think he's lost a game yet.
And you could also say Clayton Kershaw too, but you know what?
He's always in the mix. I mean, like, Clayton Kershaw.
The guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's had his, you know, his fame and, you know, highlights. I'm going to give it to Max Scherzer.
And our rookie of the year, is this even debatable?
Not debatable.
I
don't think either rookie of the year is debatable.
I so very wanted to, like, put him in my MVP conversation because of what he's done in so little time.
Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, in the 20 less games that he's played than the other guys that we mentioned.
The guy we're talking about is Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I forgot the name. You guys didn't know
that. I think he made his debut like April 24th, something around that. And
he missed a good chunk of games. And now his averages could be a lot better. His OPS isn't great. But 20 home runs already? The guy doing what Gary Sanchez, what we thought Gary Sanchez we'd only see one time. And then we saw it back-to-back years. It's insane. But
I'm going to go Cody. We both said Cody Bellinger.
Oh, I just assumed.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even let you. Steven, the surprise team, I'm going to say a couple. My honorable mention is Arizona because they went out and did dole out the big money, and you saw some potential there. And they also don't play in the bandbox that is Coors Field. And I've just been so impressed with what the Rockies done. Remember how scared we were, both of us, to pit the Rockies in the postseason? I mean, we both talked about how much we wanted to. I mean, Nolan Arenado has to be in the talks for the MVP as well. The guy has been crazy. And Steven, they're going with just rookie pitchers, and they just got back their best pitcher the other day, who apparently can rake, like Bryce Harper, 465 feet worth. Did you see that? John Gray. Remember John Gray, pitcher for the guy with long hair, pitcher for the Rockies?
Yeah, John Gray, yeah.
460 feet. Laser. My surprise team, I'll put the Diamondbacks and I'll put the Brewers as an honorable mention too. I thought they wouldn't have bad. I thought they'd be bad this year, so. But I'm going with Colorado.
Well, I'm going to go with, because I didn't think they were much of a surprise. I want to pick, what's it called? Colorado, but they're not much of a surprise to me. I'm going to pick Milwaukee because the team's, 48-40. The team, you know, they never traded Ryan Braun, which was always, you know, a thought in that organization. I always thought the Brewers to be a last place team, but they're getting production from Keon Broxton, for example. Even when they traded Lucroy last year, you know, I thought this team was going to be all to go down south. Hey, this team's leading the division right now. And biggest disappointment, I mean, there's a couple teams I want to choose from. But I'm going to pick my wild card winner. I had them winning the division. The San Francisco Giants. You could pick the Cubs, too. But, you know, I think it's really just a hangover from the World Series. And, I'm going to go with the Giants, the last place Giants, who have a lot of guys on that team. Buster Posey, Brandon Belt.
Buster Posey is hitting well over 300, has like 13 home runs, and he has like 30-something RBIs.
Because no one else on that team can hit.
No one gets on base.
But I'm saying Brandon Belt, you know, a guy valuable to that team, not really producing like he should be. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Giants as my disappointment.
A couple honorable mentions. The Cubs.
We didn't even talk about the rookie of the year for the AL. AL MVP.
We're going league to league.
Oh, we're going league to league?
Yeah, I thought we're already on the disappointments and the surprises. You should have, if you were going to ask, I would have thought after the MVP you were going to ask. Don't look at my little chart. What's the matter with you? Steven, a couple honorable mentions. The Cubs, their pitching has been they're bottom half of the league in their starters ERA. They've been bad. The Mets, you got to put in there. They've been hurt. I understand they've been hurt, but I mean,
yeah, disappointment.
The situation's just a mess. The Cardinals, your division, Central Division winner. I didn't think they'd be that good. I just didn't think they'd be this bad. The Giants, man, you said it. Steven, I had the Giants in the World Series.
As did I.
I mean, come on. They can hit. Obviously, the Bumgarner thing derailed their pitching staff immensely. I mean, who's Tyler Blatch? Who cares? Mark Melanson's on and off the DL. Johnny Cueto, again, has been a big disappointment. I mean, Brandon Crawford hasn't showed up to the party. Oh, excuse me. Hunter Pence. I can't even name you the third in their set. Eduardo Nunez is on the DL. I mean, this is just... Steven, it's not even like this team. It's not like the Cubs, right? Like, they're under 500, I believe. The Cubs are a game under 500. The Giants are 21 games under 500. I never thought this. They're behind the San Diego Padres, who are trying to lose. Wow. I didn't expect, a meteor could have hit. And I would have expected that more than the Giants being this bad. Steven, I'll let you lead off the AL. I got to catch my breath.
Yeah. My AL MVP, I think, without a doubt. You could go Mike Trout if he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like the nail in the coffin on the situation.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is my AL MVP. I mean, I don't think we've seen anyone, take the bull by the horn other than two guys in this MLB right now, Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge. I think Vin from S&D Podcast Channel tweeted it last week. We haven't seen anything like this since 2001 when Ichiro and Albert Pujols, took over the league with their offensive production. Aaron Judge, this guy's insane. He's a monster.
The only guys you can actually make an argument for, probably George Springer, 4 home runs behind him, 10 RBIs behind him, and hitting .298. Judge is hitting .331. I mean, right now he would just be short of the Triple Crown because Jose Altuve is doing Jose Altuve things for .338. My pick's Judge. It's not a question. I told you 3 weeks ago once Trout got hurt, the race is over. Aaron Judge literally would have to just go in cruise control mode, and he would hit 40 home runs. He's on pace to hit 60. He's going to hit 50. It's Judge. It's not a debate. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And I assume if we picked him for AL MVP,
He's going to be AL rookie.
AL rookie.
But it's not to take away from someone like Trevor Mancini in Baltimore, who's had a great season, too.
But this has just been insane.
And Andrew Benintendi.
Benintendi, yeah.
Benintendi.
Both
great seasons, but not to take away from Aaron Judge, who's done unrealistic things, and I never thought we'd see anything like Gary Sanchez from last year, but nope. Aaron Judge came onto the scene.
Steven, it's not even competitive. Like, saying Moustakas and Springer could catch him is a big, big stretch. It's not even close.
We're going to go on to AL Cy Young, and that's going to be my pick from the beginning of the season, too, Chris Young. I mean,
Chris Young, really?
Not Chris Young, Chris Sale.
Chris Young, back from the depths of a bottom of a rotation of the Kansas City Royals.
Well, Chris Sale, I'm going to say he's the best pitcher in baseball right now. I'm going to go on and say it. I think he's better than Max Scherzer
I'd probably give it to Scherzer.
I think they're neck and neck.
You can make an argument for both. Steven, he's on pace for over 300 strikeouts.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we saw it seems like the voters are enamored with wins from pitchers. I still don't know why. I think it's the most useless stat. Leads the league in strikeouts. We're talking about Max Scherzer leads the NL. He leads the league in strikeouts. He's got 10 wins. If you want to go by that, go ahead. I mean, the guy is just the most dominant pitcher. He's on what looks like he's going to be a train of the Boston Red Sox who have finally gotten on track. Dude, it's Chris Sale, and it's, again, not club. The only thing that I don't think is a runaway, only award midseason, is the NL MVP, because you could probably go in a few different directions. The NL Cy Young, the NL Rookie of the Year, the AL Rookie of the Year, the AL MVP, the AL Cy Young. In my opinion, all runaways. You look tired, Steven.
I am a little tired.
Did you have a long night?
You know what? Ever since I went back to work this week with the camp, you know, kids knocked me out.
What camp are you? What are you
talking? After school camp.
It's after school or is it before school?
Well, it's 7:30 in the morning to 12:45.
So it's not after school.
Well, it's the Belmont Mary Child.
So just don't lie to me. Why are you gonna lie to me? Where are you really? I think you're cheating on me.
Honorable mentions in the American League, Minnesota Twins. Even though they're in third place, they're a game and a half behind first in their division. Kansas City Royals, you know, that's a team I can't tell if they're going to be buyers or sellers. You know, they have a bunch of guys on that team that are going to be free agents come the offseason. Eric Hosmer, I believe he might even have one more year. I can't think.
He's a free agent, too.
Free agent. Mike Moustakas. Who's the outfielder? Center fielder.
Where? Kansas City? Lorenzo Cain.
Lorenzo Cain's a free agent. I believe some of their pitchers are free agents as well. So
that's like a rare situation. Like they could be in contention for the wild card, but they can also sell at the deadline because they're not going to sign any of these guys.
Basically, their World Series team of 2014 and then 2015.
Oh, it'll be gone.
It's going to be broken up. So this is their last chance to do it again. And right now, they're in second place, I believe.
One game behind Cleveland, who finally went on their hot streak that you were waiting for.
Exactly. So, you know, that could end up coming down to the wire. It just depends what these teams do at the trade deadline. But like I said, Minnesota, that they've been.
Is that your pick?
Yeah, they're my most surprising team.
I have them as an honorable mention. I actually oddly have the Astros as an honorable mention, because I thought they'd be good. I think we both picked them to win the division.
They're the best team in baseball
overall.
I
had no clue. I didn't see 30 games over 500 coming. So I think you could categorize them as a surprise as well. I'm going with baby Tampa Bay Rays. I've always had a soft spot for the Rays.
They're a small market team. That's the thing.
That too. You always like the little guy, right? Corey Dickerson is having a revolution of a year. Logan Morrison doing the same thing. I had no
Wilson one. Ramos.
Wilson, did you see the other night?
I did.
I tweeted about it, too.
I was begging.
Paid him $6 million a year. I was begging him.
Did he just come back?
Yeah, but he's been hitting well. He's been getting back into it. And he's still like a jungle cat behind the plate, too. I mean, there was a ball that went off his chest pad that he just went and got and threw over to third base. And I threw out, I believe it was Mookie Betts, of all people, speedy guy, but
Betts is a guy that has had kind of a disappointing year.
Oh God, it's been bad. Him and Bryant.
Coming off MVP, you know, years from last year.
Bryant won last year. Betts came in second behind Trout.
Could have won though.
I picked Altuve to win this year. I'm glad he's having a good year, but I mean Aaron Judge, far and away. I mean, if we look back into it. I mean, who did you have as your NL MVP at preseason?
You know, I had Arenado.
Oh, yeah, we both had Arenado. Which is a good year, 298 on pace for 120 RBIs. Yeah, the home runs have been a little disappointing. He hasn't had one in a couple weeks. But, I mean, he's had a good – it's not like he's been
– he's had a good season.
I mean, Chris Bryant has been disappointing as a baseball player.
The Cubs team overall.
I mean, the pitching's awful. Aside from Wade Davis, the bullpen's awful. The hitting hasn't produced. Wilson Contreras is the only guy who's hitting right now.
He released Miguel Montero.
Yeah, but I think that had to do with – I didn't think it had to do with his production. I think it had to do more with
– like I say, production is just not there.
I mean, it had to do more with him throwing Arrieta under the bus, though. Publicly. You want to do that behind the scenes, do whatever you want, man. Your men get face-to-face, get in your face. I don't really care. Don't go in front of the cameras and do that, bro.
You mentioned the Tampa Bay Rays, and I kind of wanted to mention something that happened with their player, Logan Morrison. I think he threw some shade over at Gary Sanchez.
He didn't throw shade. He literally said outright. I remember when I had 13 home runs. That was a month ago. Gary shouldn't be in the home run derby. I am. And Gary responded appropriately. I got an invite. I can't do anything about it. I mean, what are you going to do? I didn't realize how old he was. You know, he was on the Marlins a decade ago, right?
A decade ago?
Is it 2006? 2007? It was around there. 2008?
2009.
Was it?
He was on Giancarlo Stanton and And it was when Joe Carlos said it was Mike Stanton.
He changed his name, that's right. Steven,
speaking of Giancarlo,
home run derby bracket, everyone. Gary Sanchez is the 8th seed. You know, Logan, I'm guessing they went by the amount of home runs that they have.
That's what I'm assuming.
Gary Sanchez, I mean, Logan Morrison would probably be a 5th seed. I get how he's disappointed, but
I mean, okay, so you have the number 1 versus number 8, Giancarlo Stanton.
I like how they did this. I really do. I give baseball credit.
Yeah, but I kind of wanted to see an Aaron Judge versus Cody Bellinger, which we're not going to see in the finals. We could see it in the semifinals.
I'd much rather see Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge.
Okay, so we have Giancarlo versus Gary Sanchez, Mike Moustakas, the number 4 seed, against Minnesota Twins third baseman Miguel Sano, who's had a great season, too, don't get me wrong. I think I actually had him as AL MVP.
You had
Carlos Correa.
I don't know.
No, I had on the Indians. I had Francisco Lindor.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's had it been kind of disappointing.
Yeah,
too, actually.
Aaron Judge versus Justin Bour. That's Justin Bour.
That's gonna be. It's not gonna be.
Easy as Giancarlo versus Gary Sanchez.
Well, I don't think any of them are easy.
Oh, I think so.
Well, I don't think it's gonna be like Justin Bour's a good hitter. And the guy
in his home ballpark?
Yeah. That's a good point. Oh wow, that's 2 Marlins?
And 2 Yankees.
The
Marlins are versus the Yankees.
Oh, that is kinda cool. I like that. I think Stanton
what connection is the Marlins and the Yankees, right? There's one tie between the Marlins and the Yankees.
Considering Derek Jeter never officially
left
the team. No, there's no connection to them at all, actually. I think Stanton trumps Sanchez. I'll take Moustakas over Sano. I got to take the kid with Bellinger over Blackman, as good as Blackman is. I got to go with Judge over Bour.
Judge over Bour, yeah, I'll take that too.
That one's going to be close. It's going to be a fun match. I think out of all the first round matchups, that's going to be the best one.
Judge versus Bour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bour's going to give him a run for it. Like, the guy's got power, and it is in his own ballpark. So
I think Bellinger takes it all the way. I think that's going to be easy. I mean, Blackman's good, but he's not used to this. You know, he's not a home run hitter.
All right, so you're taking, who are you taking? 1-8, Sanchez, Stanton.
Just because it's his home ballpark, I'm going to say Stanton.
And he is the reigning. He is the defending champion.
I'm kind of disappointed he didn't ask Cespedes, but on the other side.
Oh, stop. Steven, come on.
I'm kind of happy.
The guy can't walk without pulling his hamstring. I don't want him a home run derby. Moustakas or Sano? You're some of the most lucrative things sometimes. Jesus Christ.
I'm
going to
Miguel Sano on this one.
You said Bellinger. Judge or Bour?
And Judge.
All right.
Round 2. Semifinals.
Judge, or excuse me, Stanton or Sano?
I'm going to go Giancarlo.
And Bellinger or Judge. That's going
to
be fun.
This is what I wanted in the finals, but unfortunately it can't happen. I'm going to go with Cody Bellinger.
Okay. I'm going to take Judge and Moustakas. I can't do it. I got to put Judge and Stanton in there. That's the matchup I want to see. Steven, these are two men that are so abnormally big for their sport that they have to put no effort. Steven, we see these two guys put no effort into home run balls during the game. Could you imagine what they're going to do during batting practice? This is batting practice. Look, Judge, I like how Judge played. I love how Judge played it all. You know, it's batting practice. You know, it's not daily. People say it messes up your swing. It's batting practice, which is a good point. You're just doing batting practice a lot longer than you usually would before the game.
I had Giancarlo Stanton versus Cody Bellinger.
I have Judge win it all. You taking? You love Bellinger, man. You're drinking the Bellinger.
I do. I love Cody Bellinger. I'm going to go Bellinger winning.
Oh, you're drinking the Bellinger.
Against Giancarlo Stanton in his home stadium. I just want someone different. You know what? Everyone's going to pick Aaron Judge to win it. And he probably should.
If you ask me for someone different, I'm going to go with Moustakas.
Okay. How many home runs do you think Stanton has in the first round?
16.
Gary Sanchez.
12.
Mike Moustakas.
17. I think he's going to make some noise in the first round. I think Sano disappoints a little bit. He's going to
Sano has 10?
Yeah.
You guys are very high on this. Aaron Judge.
I'm biased. He's on my fantasy team. He's done very good. He said 25. Steven, he never hit over 19. He's 25.
Aaron Judge.
Twenty.
Does he beat
20? Now, who has the record? Is it still Josh Hamilton?
27.
I'm gonna look that up. Go ahead.
Justin Bour.
18. I feel like these numbers are too.
You're very high on this. I was gonna be much lower. I'll tell you that. Cody Bellinger.
21.
Charlie Blackman.
14.
Do you have anyone under 10?
Actually, who goes first?
Doesn't the 8 seed go first?
Oh, yeah. So, I didn't really think about that much when I was thinking about, like, because, I mean, let's say, I didn't have any upsets. No, I didn't. All right, so it doesn't matter.
So, I'm going to have Giancarlo hitting 13, Sanchez hitting 8, Moustakas hitting 8. Sano hitting 10. Aaron Judge, I'm going to go 99. No, I'm totally kidding with that.
It says Stanton had 61 last season.
Oh, so maybe.
Like, overall. But what about a single round?
Round? I don't know.
I think Josh Hamilton might still.
At Yankee Stadium, correct?
Yeah. And a lefty in that stadium, you know.
Aaron Judge, how much did I say?
99.
No, okay. Well, no, he's not getting 99. He's going to get 15. Justin Bour is going to have 13. Bellinger is going to have 16. Blackman's going to have, like, 6. And that's that.
6?
Yeah, Blackman's going to have 6.
All right, hang on.
3 minutes left in the show.
Oh, do we really? Oh, oops. I'm trying to find.
We didn't even talk about the Yankee slide.
You know what? Everyone's gotta stop calling about Betances. Not our show specifically, but like in general. Like, I don't know. Just 2 weeks ago, this guy's great. We should make him the closer. This and that, and this and that. Well, maybe we should trade. What? I mean, come on, man. Hang on, I'm getting numbers up right now. Okay, so maybe they are a little more skewed than I thought. Okay, so Trumbo, this is how it went last year, Steve. Yeah, maybe I was going a little too high, but all these guys got immense power. Trumbo and Seager, 16-15 in the first round. Stanton and Cano, 24-7. Duvall and Myers, 11-10. Okay, so maybe I was. Frazier and Gonzalez 13-12, Stanton and Trumbo in the next round 17-14, Frazier and Duvall 16-15, Stanton and Frazier 2013. So, yeah, I was probably taking a little bit too far, but hey, imagine if those home run totals. I mean, Blackman, everyone usually has power in this tournament, but the one who it would be Blackman. I mean, he's a leadoff hitter, for Christ's sakes, but I don't know. It's gonna be fun. We should be doing, like, a show, not on here, on SND, right? On Tuesday?
On Tuesday, yeah. We should be doing a show, and we'll also have, we'll be talking about our Belmore Street Fair live show coming up in September.
So we'll get the podcast out. They'll put that on SoundCloud. We'll get that out for you guys. It should be a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun when we all get together. So, but, Steven, my friend, it was good to see you.
Good to see you.
Everyone have a great week, and hopefully we don't, not that much stuff happens between now and next Friday like it did the previous Friday up to now. So, have a good week, everyone, and we will talk to you next week.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
You gotta snag Hefty's Ultra Strong Trash Bag. Always at an ultra-low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
It has Arm & Hammer odor control, so your nose and your wallet will be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Hefty Strong, all day long.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
The sweet aromas of the apple fritter, cinnamon roll, and blueberry muffin are hard to resist. So making it the rest of the way home without reaching in your McDonald's bag is no easy task. But nothing worth doing is easy.
Wake up and pair any one of these sweet, fluffy, frittery bakery treats with a McCafe iced coffee. Get any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.